Boker Tov.
I don't know the biology or the physiology of how this works, but there is an amazing thing about the human eye and the concept of vision, which is a beautiful blessing, the Poker Ivrim. And that is, there are many amazing things, but that is, and I'm not sure if it's a we say in the Lamda Shechakira, is it a din in the eye or is it a din in the brain? You have to ask the medical people. But there is something that when I am looking out, I see a lot of different things all at once. But somehow, I only focus on one thing.
Pun, eye.
Ah, okay. But is that an interesting thing that maybe we don't think about? Like when you sit back for a second and you think about taking it all in, you realize I see a mechitza, I see tables, I see svarim. But when I'm looking just at that one sefer, all of a sudden everything disappears in the background. It's an amazing thing. So somehow my eye and my mind are drawn to the thing that catches my attention. Right? That's the whole reason why people spend money on billboard advertising. Because if it's something that catches your eye, all of a sudden, everything else fades into the background and you're zeroing in on this. We can think about this mashal, and we're going to come back to it as a way of framing the idea that we're going to learn about today, which is a very powerful teaching, and it appears in many places and many svarim from the Baal Shem HaKadosh. The Holy Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem was the founder of the Hasidus Revolution or Renaissance in the 18th century. And apparently, there are many, many stories about the Baal Shem Tov. Apparently, one day, the Baal Shem Tov was walking out of his house on Shabbos afternoon, and he saw someone smoking a cigarette. Saw a Jewish person smoking a cigarette. So what was his response to seeing this Jewish person smoking a cigarette on Shabbos? His response was to return home after Shabbos and spend a period of days fasting. Why would the Baal Shem Tov fast after seeing somebody smoke a cigarette on Shabbos? He said, because if I saw that person smoking a cigarette on Shabbos, being Mechal Shabbos, Rachman al-Islam, it must mean, this is the revolutionary teaching of the Baal Shem, that there is something lacking in me in my Shmiras Shabbos, in my observance of Shabbos. Because if I could see someone else being Mechal Shabbos, it must be there's a chsar and there's a lack in my observance of Shabbos. And therefore he fasted that in heaven they should reveal to him what was lacking in his Shemir Shabbos, which is not the purpose of this discussion now, so we're going to leave that part of the story out. But the Baal Shem Tov says, because the world is a mirror. Very powerful and important teaching of the Baal Shem HaKadosh. The world is a mirror. What we see on the outside actually reflects what's happening on the inside of ourselves. And that is a game-changing principle. Game-changing. Let's go to line C. Ketzad Adam Chai Bekivun El Atzmo. How does a person live focused on their inner self? I'm on line C. So left-hand column, right is numbers, left is letters. We're here in the Psicha La'avoda Pratis, and we've been talking, Rav Volbe has been teaching us about the Olam HaPnimi, the inner self. So he says, Mekubo b'shem ha'Baal Shem Tov zecher tzadik v'kradosh lavracha l'chai ha'olam haba. Ki kol ma sha'onu ro'im misaviv lanu, everything that we see around us, hu kemo ri'i asher bo ha'hashkocha ha'elyona mara lanu es atzmenu. It is like a mirror, the way that the Ribbono Shel Olam is giving us a little window into ourselves. Kazehu kivun hamabat hapnimi. That's what it means to live a life that is focused inward. That what we see on the outside is actually a reflection on the inside. There is a Rav who lives in Israel now, He is the head of a high school called Makor Chaim. Some of us are familiar with this high school from the, unfortunately, the three boys. Two of the three boys learned in this high school at that time. His name is Rav Dov Zinger. So one of the fellows in the Kollel several years ago, Rabbi Yosef Berman, he learned in this high school, Makor Chaim. And the Hanhala, Rav Zinger, and the other administrators of the high school, they run the high school really in a Hasidic spirit. So Rabbi Berman told us about various interesting educational philosophies they have. But one of the things that I learned from Rav Zinger, he once came to Chicago and he met with us in the Kollel. So apparently, when a student, first of all, there are no proctors in any exams for high school boys. And they have a dormitory, and on occasion in a high school dormitory, Feuerlichstick can happen. So he said, when they have a problem with a student, they'll have a yeshivat morim, they'll have a faculty meeting. And what do they say at the faculty meeting with Rav Zinger? The Rabbeim look at each other and they say, what are we doing wrong? Where is our chisaron? Because if we see this student doing such and such, if we see it, so the Baal Shem says, it's a chisaron in us. So what do we need to do to fix ourselves that it shouldn't happen that somebody in our yeshiva, that a boy should, God forbid, be cheating or doing whatever. Obviously, it's only happening because there's a chisaron in us. That's how they have faculty meetings in Makor Chaim. I know this from people, I met them myself. That's exactly how it is. And that is exactly how Rav Volbi is telling us we can look at the Olam HaPanimi. Because in life, we can always externalize responsibility. It was the weather, it was the neighbor, it was my friend, it was my Yetzirah, it was my this, it was my that. Always externalizing. Here, it's not only internalizing, but it's taking everybody else's, issues, and instead of throwing rocks at them, it's using it as a window to ourselves. Now, some of you are familiar with the story about the Schwarze Wolf, this traditional Hasidic folk tale that Shlomo Kalbach used to tell. So the story of the Schwarze Wolf, it would take a half hour, it would take the whole shiur just to tell that story. But the upshot of the Schwarze Wolf is that this man who looked very ugly was really the head of the Lamed Vav Tzadikim. And the point of the story, the punchline of the story, is that he looked very ugly because the people who saw him had ugliness in their neshamas, in their souls, in themselves. So if you see somebody who's very ugly, it's because Nebuch, there's something that's lacking in yourself. And that's why they saw the Schwarze Wolf as very hideous. But when they refined their own character, when the person in the story refined his character, so he saw the Schwarze Wolf for as beautiful a person as he was. Because the world is like a mirror. If you see somebody who's lacking in a certain area, instead of criticizing them, it totally transforms, it shifts the perspective to ourselves. It's a game changer. And with this, he uses the principle of the mirror to explain a very interesting Gemara in Maseches Sota, which quoted in Rashi, and some of you are familiar with this. Lama nismacha parshas nazir, on line G, la parshas sota. When you open parshas naso, we're going to get there in a couple of weeks, so there is a sequential oddity. Parshas nazir, the story of the nazir, is juxtaposed with Parshas Sota, with the story of this woman who is suspected of being unfaithful to her husband, and she drinks this mehamarim, a whole story. Lomer lecha, to tell you, what does the Gemara say? Shekol horoes sota bekilkula, anyone who sees a sota, a woman who, if she was unfaithful to her husband after the warning in front of the witnesses, so the prescription for her is to drink this bitter water that has the name of Hashem, of the Parsha in the Torah, erased into it. And then there is the potential outcome of the woman will die, and there are different permutations of how that could happen. She could explode instantly. It could be a slow, miserable death. Different perspectives. But the point is, it's not a pleasant ending. So the Gemara says, Shekol horoes sota bekilkula. If you see a sota in her demise, yazir atzmo min hayayin, you should refrain, that person will refrain from drinking wine, and that's why they'll take upon themselves a naziris, because somebody who's a nazir, in addition to not taking a haircut and not shaving and not going to a cemetery, the most prominent description of a nazir is that they don't drink wine. So wait a second. Wouldn't you have thought that it's hafuch? I would have thought, if I see a sota exploding outside the Beis HaMikdash, dying a horrible, gruesome death, so then I don't need to become a nazir. I'm not going to do anything foolish. I just saw this, like, shocking, very traumatic experience. I mean, I don't know it's probably very unpleasant. So why is the response, oh, you should become a nazir? You're going to take on a process of naziris because you shouldn't need naziris anymore. You should be, as they would say, I think in the 80s, there was a program called Scared Straight. Right? So two tirutzim. The first tirutz, this is from a psychological perspective. Dr. Polkovitz points this out. He says that the research has shown that Scared Straight does not work in many cases, because oftentimes when they would show, let's say, black lungs to adolescents who were smoking cigarettes in an unhealthy, you know, life pattern, among other behaviors, risky behaviors, part of the brain, instead of saying to the kids, wow, this will kill you, it said, that must be really good. It must be really worth trying. So that's one shot in Haroa Sota Bikalkula Yadzer Atzma Minayayin. Even though you're right, nobody wants to be on the exploding end of the explosion, but there's something attractive about that. And that's why Chazal say, if you see that, don't be drawn into that. That's one psychological perspective. But Ravolbe uses the Baal Shem Tov's mirror to explain it the other way, which is that why did I end up in the Beis HaMikdash the day that sota is put on trial? It must be that there's something in my personality that's a little bit on the edge, that maybe is flirting with impropriety. And therefore, I should be Yazir Atzma Minayayin. Because otherwise, I wouldn't show up to the Beis HaMikdash the day that there's a Nazir situation going on. I would show up the day there's a Karban Yoledes or something. I don't know. That's how he learns the Gemara. He says, because Birosi Adam Bikel Kalaso, when I see a person in their demise, Hinini Roe Takef Es Atzmi, I see myself. This is a tremendous, powerful Musar Haskel. You know, people have such a natia. We do when we judge other people, you know, and you know, you see somebody, we instantly size up the situation, and we criticize, or we throw stones, and even if we don't, you know, Baruch Hashem, nobody here is throwing stones physically, but we sometimes throw stones mentally. He says exactly the opposite. Umotze kol sivuche hacheit gam benafshi. I find all of the thicket of the chait in myself. In that moment of frustration and angst, and I would even add shame, healthy dose of shame, al hachote hinini mechapes etzos lenafshi shelo ekashal kamoso. What do I need to do? I need to take that lesson for myself. Right? The natural reaction to that is to say, wow, that guy got his just desserts. You know, he's having a disastrous meltdown, but he deserved it. She deserved it. He says exactly the opposite. If I see that meltdown, I'm saying to myself, watch out. I might be next. Shelo ekoshel kamoso. Because it's telling me something about myself. Kacha adam chai bekivun el atzmo. So a person lives thinking about themselves. That's the kivun ha'atzmi. Okay. Yeah.
So, are you saying then we have to look at it that Hashem wanted me to see this at this time?
Yes.
Hashem put me here to watch this.
Exactly. And that is in keeping with a very strong emphasis that appears in the tradition of Chassidus and the teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that not only do we live with a close relationship with Hashem, but that there is an understanding of a high emphasis of Hashgacha Pratis in the teachings and the Mesorah of the Baal Shem Tov. So there is the association of saying, if I saw that, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted me to see that, which is part of a much bigger, complicated algorithm that is an age-old machlokas. But today, especially in many Hasidic circles, this concept of Hashgacha Pratis is underlying a lot of the approaches. Yeah, what were you going to add?
Well, I've learned this a lot in the past, but I always related to it as Hashem is your mirror. So if something's bothering you, if you're having an emotional response to something, if there's something in your spouse that you don't like that bothers you very much, if you're having that triggered emotional reaction, that's a reflection of something that needs tikkun within you. But it's not, I never learned it as whatever you are seeing and experiencing at all. I always learned it as if something is triggering you, if something is eliciting like this negative reaction, that's a sign that it's something that you need to work on, or it's within you. If you don't like the way this town looks, it's a reflection of you. Mm-hmm. But I never ever learned it as if you're in a situation and you see something, then that's a reflection of a tikkun within you that needs to be rectified. I've never heard it like that.
Yes, you'll also find that if you look, there's a collection of stories by Dr. Tversky, Dr. Shia Tversky, Abraham J. Tversky. So in his volume, what is it called? Not Just Stories. You know, he has many, many, many books. And I think he has at least one chapter on this point. And I think that it actually comes back to a deeper idea, which is probably too lengthy to discuss Ba'arichas Rabbah right now, but it goes back to the idea of vision, of Re'iyah. And it goes back to the mashal that we started with. But if something comes into my field of vision, so the idea of, for example, lo sasur achrei levavkem v'acharei nechem, uri'isim oso, that when a person, and that's why, you know, there's such an emphasis in tradition about what we see and how it affects us. Moshe Rabbeinu just wanted to see the land. What does that have to do? Why would he see the land? Seeing the land, he's not there. He couldn't go there. But because when you see something, somehow there is, the Maharal has this idea that when you see something, it creates a bond. There's a connection that's made. So the Baal Shem Tov is saying, if something enters my orbit, my field of vision, even if I'm not having a negative reaction to it, somehow, if it's in my field of vision, that's connected to me. That's my Uri'isim. There's somehow I'm there and it's connected to me. So the Baal Shem's Chiddush, it's a further expansion of what you're saying, is that anything that's in my field of vision. And that's why I wonder if the mashal that we started with actually fits this point, which is that
focusing
exactly that so somehow much. That somehow there's a lot going on in the world, but if that draws my eye, well, now I have a kesher to that. That is the mirror. You know, a person could be walking down the street and not pay attention to something. It doesn't enter their field of vision. So the Baal Shem Tov would say, you know why I didn't pick it up? Because it's not speaking to me right now. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want that message to come across to me. But if I'm coming across that thing, if I see that, right, the Baal Shem Tov could have walked down the street and not seen the person being Mechal Shabbos. The fact that he saw the person being Mechal Shabbos, he could have been at home. The guy could have been there 2 hours before. So the Baal Shem Tov is including the in this kind of recipe, he's including the Hashgacha Pratis piece because he's saying, the fact that I went outside and saw that on Shabbos, that's Bahashgacha. And the fact that it came into my field of vision, that's this very Maharal idea and a deep idea in Hasidus, the idea that if it's something that you are exposed to, it's apparent to you, in your field of vision, there is an Uri'isim also, so then there is a connection.
So he's not saying because my eye fell upon it and I chose to use my brain to focus on it, that's why I'm going fast. Right. He wasn't saying that. He was saying because I saw it.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Just the mere fact.
Outside again.
Just
the only reason you saw it was because there was something, the connection was really made before, and then you know.
Exactly. It's a bitui. It's a manifestation. That's what the Baal Shem is saying. You saw it because it's a manifestation of something about me. I saw it because, actually, according to Baal Shem, it's almost reverse. It's obviously, causation-wise, it's not what he's saying, but that guy did it because I was walking outside today. That's the way we're supposed to view it. Obviously, he chose to break Shabbos because, whatever, that's his. He's going to deal with that on his own cheshbon. But the idea is that it's coming from within. So when I came across this paragraph from Avolbi, it's Nafala Asimon. It's like, oh, a ton of bricks just fell on me. Like, oh, now I see why that fits into the whole structure that he's trying to build for us. We're trying to build this self, you know, this kind of binyan atzmi, this self-edifice, thinking about ourselves. And not thinking about how it relates to others. So now it's so perfect. It's a total opposite that when we see others, it's actually nothing to do with them. It's more about us in terms of the world. You know, we see people, they come late to Shacharis. So the instant response is, woo, they really don't care about davening. Right? Well, the first thing that we should be thinking in terms of if we're wearing our Don LeCobb's goggles would be, wow, you know, I also come sometimes late when everything is flying or somebody tripped down the stairs or somebody had an emergency. So we all come late. Shkoyach, that's supposed to be Don LeCobb's number one. But the Baal Shem is saying something higher. He says, if you come to shul and you see people are talking, it's because obviously you need a tikkun of your own seriousness in davening. Now, this is a very high standard. Like you said, you might not want to go outside anymore. It's a very high standard. It doesn't mean that we're all on the level of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, but it's a paradigm shift. It's a paradigm shift. It shifts us from looking outside to looking inside. And that's just this one last thing, which he adds before he talks about a different element. Lama Nismacha, line between J and K, I don't know where I put it here. Lama nismacha parshas meragim la parshas Miriam lafisha lok so al iske diba shidiba ba'achel risham halalu ro v'lo lakum musar. He says that's how he touches up the juxtaposition of the spies and the story of Miriam. Meaning, everybody knew Miriam was outside the camp. She was excluded from the machane because she had saras. So a mitzorah has to be sent out from all the three machanos. And there was special hashkacha. Hashem Yisbarach said, you can't leave without her. You cannot move without her. It's not like she's going to catch up to you. You wait for her. So that's pretty embarrassing, as you'd say here. Right? That's what you would say. All the Jewish people knew that Miriam said five words of Lashon Hara. So probably everybody was thinking, what did she say? What did she say? So they said she said something. And everybody was like, whoa, if that was the worst Lashon Hara I ever said, I'd be in good shape. So everybody knew she said Lashon Hara. They had to wait for her. So what's the pshat? So he says, what's the next parasha? It's parashas Shlach. So I always looked at it as, oh, you see, the Meraglim are so stupid that they just saw what happened to Miriam and then they fell into Lashon Hara on their own. He says it's much more profound than that. When they heard and they found out, and they knew that Miriam said Lashon Hara, what should they have done? They should have immediately introspected and say, what's going on in our community? What part do I have for the fact that someone said Lashon Hara and that everybody knows about it? Everybody knows. Ra'u, they saw that Miriam was sitting outside with Saras without an excuse except for the fact that she said Lashon Hara. And what happened? Ro va'aleim lo naga hama'ora klal. El toch olamam hapnimi lo chadru hadvarim. It didn't affect them internally. They could have said, she said Lashon Hara, and you know what? You could say that they would have been big tzaddikim to say, they say Lashon Hara, I'm not going to judge her. She said Lashon Hara, that's her issue, she's going to get fixed. But Rav Volvi is saying they should have done something even more. They said, if we know that she said Lashon Hara, we should have had a yeshiva, all sit together, avad, to figure out, where is our chisaron? And you see what happens. Because they didn't do that, they fell into it right away. It's because they weren't nizar, because they didn't take it to themselves and internalize it. So that's why they're going to fall into the Lashon Hara that they said about the land of Israel in the Parsha of the Meraglim. So this idea is, it really is big time game changer in terms of how we view the world. And of course, it's complicated, and we're not saying that everybody can live on this level all the time. It's a very high level. But as an aspiration and as thinking about how we define ourselves and our souls and what we are and how we relate to other people, instead of thinking about how to criticize others, how do we use the world as a mirror to improve and refine ourselves? That's this teaching of the Baal Shem, that the Baal Shem handed down to us. Such a powerful teaching. Hope you have a great week.